Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. We'll visit with Torrey Lovello in just a couple of moments, but the D-backs' first-year player draft continue today with rounds 3 through 10, and some of the notables, Tristan English, the former All-ACC first baseman from Georgia Tech, went to the D-backs in the third round. In the fourth, Glenn Allen Hill Jr., the son of the former major leaguer and current Colorado Rockies minor league manager, was the fourth-round pick. The D-backs view him as a center fielder. D-backs with 30 more rounds of the draft tomorrow, rounds 11 through 30, after having 7 picks on the opening day. D-backs get ready to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. They lost 3-1 yesterday, and despite a strong performance from Robbie Ray. We'll talk about that and more with the manager, Torrey Lovello.
It looked like one pitch was the difference last night. Let's go through that fifth inning just a little bit here. Robbie was really cruising. Just bing, bang, boom, it seemed like it happened to him.
Yeah, and that's how the Dodgers operate. We know that. They strike quickly. It was kind of a lean-out base hit, not off the barrel. For Turner, it was a walk to the next batter that set up the Seager situation. And look, they have very, very potent players in their lineup. We know how to pitch them. When you make a mistake, you're going to have those things pop up from time to time. But I thought he threw the ball really, really well. Outside of that 28-pitch inning, he did exactly what we want him to do. Hopefully he's on a very, very good path. Had we scored 5-7 runs yesterday, we would have talked about a totally different outcome and been talking about Robbie's great outing. So I'm glad it came up the way it did. He's going to grow and learn, and I think he'll be better off for it.
Well, you mentioned he had the one long inning, but everything else was pretty manageable in the teens. And I think there was a 5-pitch inning in there, too. Mm-hmm. How difficult is that to do against L.A.'s offense?
Well, sometimes it's surprising because they do grind things down, but it was Walker Buehler swinging at the first pitch for the second out in that five-pitch inning that kind of startled you. But I'm sure there's a reason why they're doing it. We respect their ability to go out and game plan, but Robbie was on the attack. So it was consistent outside of that first inning or that one inning because he was attacking with his fastball. The secondary stuff was swing and miss in the zone. He could bounce a breaking ball when he needed to. But I think overall, the overriding theme for the past several outings for a lot of our guys has been the fastball attack. Establish the command of that pitch, put the pressure on the hitter, know that there's fastball presence, and they go to work from there.
We've talked a little bit about this, especially over the course of this year, that fastball usage across the game has gone backwards. And I think the Diamondbacks are just below the league average in terms of four-seam, two-seam usage. Is that something that you think is a potential alteration with guys standing on their fastball a little bit more to try and back off breaking ball percentages like what you've seen the last couple of days?
Well, I know that there's a lot of game planning. We do a really good job of trying to identify where those holes are, and we're going to attack holes. And sometimes there are secondary pitches that you got to throw to get these hitters out. So we will identify those areas. But I think everything for me, and I might be a little old school with this, is set up off of a very, very good fastball that you can throw where you want to, when you want it, and where you want it to land. And you got to speed up the hitter. His eyes got to change. You got to shuffle his deck a little bit and know that you're going to make the ride as bumpy as possible. So I don't want to run away from the idea of throwing secondary pitches, and I don't want to be the team with the highest fastball percentage. I want us to be efficient with our fastball when we throw it. We have to know how to throw it, where to throw it, and why we're throwing it.
I know we've talked a lot about Christian Walker of late and some of the adjustments he's made, but 98 above the belt that he hit out, so that's a pitch that gave him a lot of trouble for most of the season. When you saw that, what did it say to you?
Yeah, it told me that he's working as hard as anybody to make good things happen on those limitations that the league thinks he has, and that's what this is all about. It's about curing some of those little parts of your game that aren't working so good and making tiny, tiny adjustments, not wholesale changes, and knowing how you're getting attacked. We have game plans and we have data and we have information that we can hand to these guys and tell them, look, this is what's going on. And they still know and they still can't do it. But I think Christian is going out and executing a game plan to counterpunch some things and swinging at the strikes that he can hit. And you're right. It was a 98-mile-an-hour fastball that's in a zone that's been giving us some problems. I know the reason why. He's in the cage right now trying to figure that out.
Tonight, Taylor Clark makes the start. His last outing, his roughest as a big leaguer, five runs and two innings of work. What were the conversations like the last week leading up to this?
Fastball attack. Start to throw that to set up your secondary stuff. And he wasn't the only guy. We went into Colorado, and I think we did an okay job early in that series. And then late in the series, we started to back off our fastball, and they really took advantage of us picking at the zone. So I want him to, once again, set up the secondary stuff with a good fastball, a good crisp fastball that's just showing itself and showing the presence to the hitter, and then working off of that. Taylor's got a four-pitch mix, and he can't wander through the outing trying to find pitches. He's got to walk out of the bullpen ready to go.
Hyunjin Ryu starts for LA. You've seen him plenty. I get the sense he's one of those frustrating at-bats, right? You almost feel like it's a comfortable 0-for-3 mm-hmm. when you take it against him. Mm-hmm. What's the key against somebody who doesn't have premium velocity but really has exceptional command?
Yeah, laying off the cutter and on the right-hander's hands. And just knowing that he's trying to push you off the plate or force you to swing at that pitch, chase it in, and then set it up with a quality changeup. I think there's a breaking ball that's in play, but I don't know necessarily over the past couple of outings how much he's used that and how much success he's had with it. But it's the cutter that got us in LA, the secondary stuff that we started to chase off of the plate, off of that cutter. So we got to make sure that we're locked in. We got to push that fastball out over the plate, know if it's hittable or not.
All right, Skip, you're good tonight.
Thanks so much.
D-Bench manager Torrey Lovello. Keep an eye on the podcast feed this weekend as we'll have conversations with many of the D-Backs' top draft picks. That's all still to come. And we will continue to recap what happened in what's been a very important draft for the Diamondbacks. As of now, the D-Backs will try and get even in this series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. BP show coming up at 6. First pitch at 6:40 with Greg Schulte and Tom Gandiotti on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station on the Valley, and the D-Backs Network. Work as Taylor Clark will make the start for the D-backs against Hyunjin Ryu for LA. Thanks again for joining us for another edition of Early BP.